Right. Let's do the math. Our service mission here was supposed to last 31 souls. For redundancy, they sent 68 souls worth of food. That's for 6 people. So for just me, that's going to last 300 souls, which I figure I can stretch to 400 if I ration. So I got to figure out a way to grow 3 years worth of food here on a planet where nothing grows. Luckily, I'm a botanist. Mars will come to fear my botany powers.
Welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
Hi, and welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. This is Damien.
Hi, and welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. This is Douglas.
I think this is literally the definition of throttling. I think the podcast is being throttled
it's
right
when
now.
You squeeze my neck so hard that I can't speak clearly. This is how you throttle someone. And you should have done that to us years and years ago. On The Walking Dead.
I'll just be watching now while we talk. So, guys, it's the end of the month.
It's that time again.
It's that time of the month again. It's time for us to actually talk about current releases.
Unemployment checks, yay!
Oh, wait. So this month gone by, the numbers are as follows. Douglas comes in last with a grand total of just under 4.5 million. Between 3 movies, that being Knock Knock, Rock the Casbah, and Scout's Guide to the Apocalypse, in which no movie made more than 2.5 million, and no movie made less than 36,000. Second to last, Damien comes to us with Vin Diesel number 2 for the year.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Making 19 million. So because Damien, you know Vin Diesel is the way to go.
That Hobbit guy was in there as well. Can't remember his name. What's his name?
Third this month, Frodo is Jack, with 41 million coming from The Walk and Pan.
Jesus.
Second this month is Ed, who between Bridge of Spies, Crimson Peak, and Goosebumps has managed a grand total of 130 million. And
Oh my god, Bridge of Spies made money?
It made enough.
Wow.
And
Goosebumps. Look at Goosebumps.
And for the first time in the year 2015, I have won a month. With a grand total
of 197
million between The Martian and Steve Jobs.
No. A total of 190 million from The Martian.
Yes.
and like $5 from Steve Jobs. Actually, I was looking up the numbers earlier to update the sheet, and I searched Jobs and couldn't find it in the top 100, only to realize that Box Office Mojo called it Steve Jobs.
Oh, okay.
And it made 14, so it was okay. It was just in there. But I had to go to like the 5th page to find Knock Knock. Anyways, this is the month so far, and where I'd love to start out is with Knock Knock, with Douglas's, let me not say flop, because I mean
Magnum,
yeah, we really expected Knock Knock to make money.
Yeah.
Eli Roth's return to...
That's true, he directed it, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
This and Green Inferno came out in October.
So yeah, this movie, I mean, so it's about girls who knock. Mm-hmm.
And you never, ever answer girls who knock.
Never. And Keanu gets himself into
some
compromising situation. And then he becomes compromised further. It's a decent movie about crazy ass shit. I looked at this trailer and I said, yup, it's John Wick Part 2. And it kind of was, in a sense. It was definitely concept-driven in the sense that they're like, okay, guys. Well, not concept in the way that a lot of people call it, but they essentially said, here is the situation. Let us just live in this. Which is kind of how John Wick was. They were like, all right, we'll take 15 minutes. We'll show you everything that happened in the trailer. You'll get into the situation where he's fighting all of these people. And, yeah, just enjoy it. And so it was the same thing. They took a little bit longer than 15 minutes to get himself into this situation where he, was banging some youngsters. And then they come back and they say, okay, it's time for you to be punished for one reason or another. I think this movie definitely had pacing problems. I think it took a little bit too long to get to the point for my liking. But outside of that, it was a decent, a fun movie. It kept you in the scenario. You kind of watch it and you enjoy what's happening. These young ladies are getting their revenge, so to speak, or having their fun. And it's fun watching Keanu Reeves squirm. So I didn't mind it. It wasn't the greatest movie, and it's definitely not the strongest of threes. I gave it a 3. But I did like it. I enjoyed this movie.
I find it interesting that you sound so tempered in how you're talking about this movie. And I gave it a lower score, and I feel more enthusiastic about it than you. Right? I disagree with you for the most part, because I actually preferred the first half of the movie.
Really?
So much more than the second half. Because the second half is where I started going a little bit... I started feeling a little wavered, where there were moments where it just didn't... It didn't feel like it could keep up with its own insanity. Right? Mm-hmm. To the perfect tone that you wanted. But the first half, where it's just him trying to be a nice guy and him trying his best to keep faithful and not fall into this honeypot that's being laid before him, that we as viewers know exactly what's happening, right? We go in knowing that these girls are manipulating him and that he is just trying to be a nice guy. One of the few touches I really loved is there's this one moment in the first half when they're literally chasing him around this living room that he has, and he's going from chair to chair trying to avoid being close to them, trying to be like, you're a little girl, stay over there, that's inappropriate, right? And I really loved it, right? When you get into the second half, and I think one of the things that I really didn't like was when the art collector comes back.
So I was actually about to say, that's my favorite scene.
Because it has a half second where I'm like, that's funny, right? But as it progresses into continuing the insanity, like, I started finding it more ridiculous than funny, right? There were some other elements of the latter half where they're trying to bring in other things that occur. I kind of like the ending. I liked how it ended as its own little thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But just that whole section where the revenging, the punishing is happening, it doesn't always keep the pace I want. Right? It didn't always keep me perfectly in tune. But that first half, great. Ending, great. If I take it as a whole,
I
liked it, but I'd never watch it again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I enjoy, and as I said to you, that scene with the art guy where the two of them are running around and playing keep away with his inhaler, that was my favorite scene in that movie, because...
You're a monster.
I'm a monster.
Because you're one of those girls. You're the honeypot. You're one of those girls.
Are you saying that I go from door to door trying to have sex with married men so that I can beat them up?
That's not what he's trying to say. That's what he's saying.
Okay.
And you should stop it.
That's true.
We've spoken to you about this many times.
But it...
I know it's fun.
So where do you want to go from here, Douglas? Which movie should we talk about next? I like thinking of this idea where we're just passing it along.
Alright, yeah, well, guess what? Oh, you haven't seen anything?
No, I did.
Okay,
so,
good.
Saw a lot of...
Because I would really like to talk about, and I hope you have seen this, but I'd really like to talk about Vin Diesel and witches.
Good Lord.
I haven't seen this.
Nor have I.
Oh,
so
I have seen it.
You're just baiting it.
Oh, you're
talking about right. This movie.
Yes.
This movie sucks.
Because I've seen the trailers.
Hey,
and
guys.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, guys. This movie sucks.
But Michael Caine is in it.
Michael Caine is in it. I agree. Michael Caine. This movie is aggressive. It's like... You know the Underworld movies, right?
Yeah.
They're dumb.
Yeah.
But they're a acceptable kind of dumb. You watch it and you go, this was dumb. At least the first one, right? By the time they got to Underworld 12 or whatever it was, everyone jumped off. But the first one, you're like, I like watching Kate Beckinsale kick the shit out or whatever this is. It's all right. Imagine that, but without... Kate Beckinsale. So there's Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel is supposed to be this old man, and he's supposed to be the witch hunter, and he's supposed to be suave. But Vin Diesel can't pull that off, because when he opens his mouth, you go, all right, that's Vin Diesel. He can't play suave anything, because his voice and his face don't lend to that. And so you go, all right, I'm sure he'll make up for all of that with the action. Right? The action in this movie is borderline some of the worst action I've seen in years. And then the CG is garbage. So there's nothing to, like, there's none of this. The only thing that this movie could go alright is the story. But the name of the movie is what, Douglas?
The Last Witch Hunter.
It's
so
Fast
you
and
know,
the Furious Vampires.
So you know the story is terrible.
No?
Like, it's called The Last Witch Hunter. You could see from the trailer that no story was going to
happen. It's a question.
Movie.
Only thing I want to know, because there are two types of these stories. Wherever it's, whenever the title is The Last Known,
right?
Does it start out with him being the last one and he's the vestige, or does it end with him being the last one?
So it starts out with him being the last one. He goes and hunts a witch. And kills the witch queen. And the witch curses him with everlasting life. Cause reasons. And then they flash back that opening scene 19 times in the movie. Remember, you saw it 13 seconds ago. They keep flashing back to the scene you just saw. And then at the end of it, the same thing happens. Where he kills the witch. And the witch curses him. It's really,
but hold on.
Do they
really
play?
Bad.
Do they play the song from The Wizard of Oz where they keep going?
That
the witch is dead. The witch is dead.
It would have gotten a two from me if it did.
But so, if what you're trying to tell me is that at the end of this movie, Vin Diesel didn't die and Tom Cruise didn't walk off into the distance as the last vampire.
The last samurai. No.
Last samurai.
No.
Which
one? No. Like, it's just, it's bad. Like. Paul Blart bad.
Oh.
You just watch it confused as to how this movie was made. You watch it and go, why are they wasting all these, with the exception of Vin Diesel, why are they wasting all these actors? Remember the second Pitch Black movie? That train wreck of a movie?
I try not to.
I like how you quantify which one as if either, as if
no,
there's
the
one
first
that is,
hey,
nope.
Fuck
nope.
It.
They're all bad.
No, right. But the first one was entertaining.
No.
The second one was not.
And I don't know. Maybe I wonder if it's because I was told this and got my hopes up or something. I remember because there was a time when I used to hate Vin Diesel, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Good.
And
you still do.
Yeah, you really.
You just have an exception.
Like the Rock,
in
right?
There we go.
Right.
Yeah,
if the Rock is standing beside
you,
it's like a filter in your email.
But I remember
like
people said to me
that one. I don't
I remember people said to me this Pitch Black thing is great. And then I watched
those
one of the movies,
are evil people.
And they were like, oh, wait, no, you watched the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first one we're talking
right.
about.
And
then I watched that
one,
and I said,
like, no. No, man. You're all bad people. That movie's okay. Like the first Blade movie. It's okay. This movie's not. No one should watch this. It's my movie and I'm telling you guys. Don't waste the 2 hours or whatever, however long it is. It's just bad. Like, this action movie barely has any action. The action is bad and the CG is bad. It's an action movie, so you know the story is bad.
But
it's bad. It's just across the board.
But Jon Snow shows up, right? When? To get his lady.
Alright. No? Whatever.
Yes.
Stop talking to you. Have you guys seen Everest?
No, I have not.
You guys need to watch the shit out of that movie.
Is it a good movie? Really?
You will enjoy going to Caribbean having no one sit beside you. I don't know if it's still there.
It's not there.
Oh, it makes sense. I saw it there and I went, oh, right, that movie. Ran to see it.
I was sad because it only lasted a week or so. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I give up. I'll wait until Wednesday to watch it. Mm-hmm. And then it was gone.
I saw it and went, all right, going to watch that. And sat down and waited for more people to come in.
Hence why I didn't see
and
it on the Wednesday.
Waited for more people to come in. At one point, during intermission, I did the thing I always do where I kind of lean back, so my head is barely visible. It's a small theater. And the lady came up and like didn't see me immediately. I was like using the flashlight. And then she went back down the steps. And then I saw her come back with something. Like, what is? So I sat up and she's, and then she turned and she said, oh! And then she sat down. And oh, he didn't disappear.
Where did he go?
He escaped.
He was left on the mountain.
It's one of those movies, but it is, the acting and the direction is so good that, like, you know how these stories go.
I.e. Douglas doesn't like it.
Yeah, it looks like a movie I'm not going to like.
No, but you can't help but like it because of all the people who are in the movie. Like, they defy you.
That's what I figured out he doesn't like.
Oh.
when Damien, if you show him an ad for a movie,
right,
and he immediately associates it with something he knows and can immediately quantify to mm-hmm. exactly what it is,
right,
and he gets exactly that thing. If he was 100%,
mm-hmm.
right, and he gets 100%, he still goes, eh.
Yeah.
It's what I thought. Was
yeah. I knew this movie was going to be okay.
I knew this movie was going to be phenomenal. Yeah. And it's phenomenal. It's okay. So that's a two.
So that's a two. Met expectation. Two. It's a movie about people getting lost on the tallest mountain in the world.
It's been 2 hours in it.
Hey, shit goes sideways. Hey guys, turns out if you're that high up and things go bad, they go really bad really quickly. And then there's a leader that takes them to safety. The ones that survive, because of course, people have to die or these movies are boring. But you can't not like, there's no way you can watch this movie and go, I don't like this movie. You can't. It's impossible. You can try. But you won't win.
Douglas is saying to himself, challenge accepted.
Right, it's not a spectacle. Like, the best you can do is give it a 2. I give it a 3. I need to watch it again, though, because I really did enjoy it. But as you all said, it was at Carib one day, then vanished in the air the other day.
Hopefully we'll see before the year is out.
So, now. Speaking of, you know, large spectacle mm-hmm. movies... Did you watch The Walk?
No.
Andrew, did you watch The Walk?
I did see The Walk.
You did? What
wasn't that also in theaters for 13 seconds?
About that. They realized that the guy was French, supposed to be French, mm-hmm. and decided, can't keep that too long. I actually really liked it.
Is it better than Man on Wire?
No.
Then nope, don't want to watch
you
it.
You see, but here lies the thing, right?
I'm out.
It real the film, and this is going to be Douglas's negative, it realized... really early going into the movie that the most important part of the story was the character, which is what I was afraid would be lost from the documentary, because mm-hmm. when we're watching that documentary and we see mm-hmm. all of those talking head scenes where mm-hmm. Philippe is just talking to us and mm-hmm. he's animated and doing all of
this, right, this man's a lunatic,
like, that is perfect. And part of the surprise is that it's a documentary. It's that this is a real person. This isn't a caricature mm-hmm. that someone is making of. Mm-hmm. So I could easily see someone who hasn't seen The Source watching this movie and seeing Joseph Gordon-Levitt's performance and going, that's like a turned up to 12 right. version, right?
It's too weird.
But he kind of makes it. I kind of like that, even though if you try to think of it like a serious Oscar-y movie, that he's... The performance is kind of ridiculous, and the accent is totally off. But I kind of viewed it as if one of Joseph Gordon-Levitt's hit record shorts, if you've ever watched one of them, where he's acted in them and he's been a little silly and the accent's just kind of off, and he goes straight into that mode, and it kind of worked for me. When they get to the heist at the end of the movie, it's just as enthralling. There are some moments where it's kind of comical, like... As we know in the documentary, there's a point where the arrow goes across and he loses the wire
right.
and he's jumping around. And you actually see Joseph Gordon-Levitt jumping around naked, trying to find the wire. And it looks silly as all hell, but I still enjoyed it. Like, it became more fun than how the documentary made it more tense. Right? And I like it for that. And then, of course, when you get to the end where he's actually walking on the wire, it's kind of frightening. Like, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't say that I'm afraid of heights. But the minute that you get to a high point and you look over, mm-hmm. you immediately yeah. have this fear enter you. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And something about watching those scenes where we were above and looking down.
Was like, it in 3Ds?
It was in the 3Ds, but that didn't matter.
Third dimension.
but it was... I enjoyed it. It's definitely a 3.
Douglas Robinson, stoic the Robinson. or is it Robinson the stoic?
It's just stoic.
Okay, you don't seem to share Andrew's enthusiasm.
I care to differ.
You said this movie,
Damien,
I say a shirt behind you with an F.
Yep.
Okay, so the last letter though.
I do believe it's an M.
Ah.
Damien.
No, Douglas. Uh-huh. Douglas. We are doing a podcast. You have to do it right.
Yes.
You always refer to it in the F mode. For film
mode? Film?
Instead of movie. I'm going to just lie down in this corner. Don't mind me.
What is he saying?
Second time he's done. I'm gonna get the reference.
FTM
mm-hmm.
is
yes.
But we are on a podcast uh-huh. where we are snobby.
Well, no. If that were the case,
listen,
it would be FTC. Fuck this cinema. But guys,
yes.
So this movie, right? Mm-hmm. First it's off, what?
No bueno.
No, it's not. And I wonder, right? I don't know how I can be unbiased, because I wonder how much of it has to do with my watching and loving the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And then watching this...
Which is a sentence Douglas has never said before. Loving a documentary.
Right? And then watching this and seeing somebody try hard and unsuccessfully to crib the documentary. Right? So it's difficult for me to try and separate that concept. So I could be coming down on this movie a little bit too harshly. I probably am.
But that's fair.
But, right, so there's
you
that.
You saw the documentary, so
and,
it
but
had
hate,
something
but,
to live
but
up
But Damien,
to.
I hate people that say things like that. That mm-hmm. they're like, oh, I read the book and the book was 10 times. Fuck those people.
Yes.
Right? So
Douglas, I want you to look in the mirror right now. And I want you to just do it. Just say it to yourself. Just say it.
but guys, let's put that aside, right? Mm-hmm. So this movie does exactly what the documentary does. Where... It's not necessarily... The movie isn't the movie. The movie is the story about the movie told by the main character of the movie.
Right?
Right? You have Joseph Gordon-Levitt narrating everything and talking about how he did it and what pulley he used and how he decided to take off all of his clothes because that way he would feel for the cord better, a bit more surface area. In the... in an attempt to be as goofy and crazy and all over the place as the real person.
Right.
And for me, that just didn't work in the movie because and this is another thing, maybe there were expectations, even though I kind of expected it to be what it was, and I kind of expected to hate it. So there is that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But when I watch a movie like this...
So this is a 2 then? Because you got exactly what you expected. You just go, eh.
But it wasn't a movie where, you know, it's start to finish. This could have been, and I didn't want it to be, but this could have been somebody making, say, an Ocean's 11 movie. Or type of movie, because it has that type of story. They could have approached it from kind of the goofy standpoint of looking at the person and, oh, this is a ridiculous thing for them to do. But I think they went a little bit too far down that road, because I personally wanted to see the movie about the thing, not the documentary in fictionalized form. That's ridiculous. And then to kind of
compound
it, to add insult to injury.
Mm-hmm. To add cliche to other cliche.
It became a Robert Zemeckis movie. And how I kind of have viewed Zemeckis for a long time. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I love some of his movies. Back to the Future, the three of them are fantastic. He did Romancing the Stone, which I love pieces of.
Did he do the second one?
I don't know if he did the second one, but probably he did.
Okay.
He's done some cool shit. Off
hairs in that
right? and what I've seen from him since, I always equate. Kind of, to me, the epitome of Robert Zemeckis is Jim Carrey's version of A Christmas Carol. It's not good, and it's essentially nothing more than a vehicle for him to say, look what I can do with computers.
Yes.
Right?
My CG.
Exactly.
Can out CG your CG.
And that's exactly what happened in the tail end when they're like, oh, guess what? We can get somebody to be on a rope and try and scare Andrew. And he did all of these things. He succeeded. Yeah, he did all these Andrew. Things, you know, these just in-your-face shots
mm-hmm.
of, oh my goodness, I am 2,000 leagues above the sea, and I am going to do 780-degree rotations. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, okay, I don't... Maybe it's just a personal thing.
Maybe
I don't care about
don't
it.
Have a heart,
what
right?
if he was running drones? What if he wasn't CG? Maybe they
I would not care. Right?
We just came off a year with Mad Max.
Running drones.
Where we realized how things are enhanced by CG.
Yeah.
Not
So I don't have any problem with things being generated by CG.
Weather
but
is amazing.
If your sales pitch to me for this movie is, oh my god, he's really high. That's not a pitch that I need to see. I don't need to be wowed by mechanics. I need to enjoy the thing that I'm watching.
So you're an enemy of cinema and progress. Hmm? Robert Zemeckis believes in one day we won't even need real actors.
And I'm fine with that.
We'll just have him download CG madness into madness.
Okay, great.
Have you guys seen
as long
progress?
As... I've seen
the Congress.
I saw like the first half of it with you.
You should watch the Congress.
Yeah, it's pretty much that where they get to a stage where mm-hmm. you're an actor and you sit down in front of one of those body capture
mm-hmm.
image capture things
and
they're like, okay, you will never act again. You go
mm-hmm.
about your business
mm-hmm.
and we will just CG the shit out of you.
Enjoy. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger got this.
Pretty much. but yeah, this movie was just god awful. At least I wanted to throw up at the end of it. And that's not because I was scared, that's because
uh-huh.
I was just offended.
Okay. You don't like
it? I don't like it.
I like it at all.
At all.
And it's because you saw the documentary.
I don't
and
you think
hate
so.
Robert Zemeckis, and you always have,
but
and
I
you
can't...
always will.
So, the movie I wanted to talk about is the new film by Douglas's least favorite director in the world,
Robert Zemeckis.
That being no, even worse than Robert Zemeckis.
Impossible.
Right. That being Crimson Peak by Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, fuck.
G-dubs.
Have you gotten around to this one?
I want to watch it so much. I haven't. Goddamn work. Please,
Douglas,
please
have
tell
you
me good.
Seen it?
Yes, I have seen this film.
How do you feel
words.
About this movie?
I don't care what Douglas thinks. Andrew, tell
Let's
me
just
if you
say
love the movie.
That my views on this film are similar to a regulatory body. The FTC regulates things. All right, I'm sorry. That was okay.
Oh, shit.
No, we're trying to get. We're
by alone back here. By alone. By alone.
No, I think we're just both.
Oh, we should just record this on Saturdays only when you guys are on the A game.
Oh,
work cake with all of you.
Guys, I don't understand how I keep getting suckered in.
Yep.
I've probably watched like.
Everyone
9 out of
the 10. One good one.
Except the one everyone tells
no,
you to watch.
No, I've seen the one good one.
You've seen Pants?
No, I saw Pac Rim.
Andrew,
so
I don't want
Damon.
To talk to Douglas anymore.
So okay, Damon.
Tell me that Guillermo did it.
Let me ask you a question,
yes.
Damon. If I told you about a movie which was a young lady who is a writer being married off to a baronet in a haunted house. And things are creepy. Would you want to watch that movie?
No. Because it sounds
like
horror nonsense.
If I told you it was directed by Guillermo del Toro.
100% yes.
You are perfectly primed to watch this movie. Right? This movie is kind of great, but not perfect. And that is, therein lies the world of Guillermo
That's
del Toro.
All, except
right?
one movie. except
he,
his one movie.
He always has this way with him where it feels though he goes in with an idea where it's almost equivalent to Zemeckis. Where Zemeckis walks in and he goes, someone showed me a new computer program I can use and I can now do this thing. Right? Guillermo del Toro kind of sits in his basement one evening, pulls out an old horror movie he loves and goes, you know what? I've never done a real haunted house movie where I get to do like creepy ghost bloody creatures. I want to do that today. He writes up a script, says, I just want a chance to do horror, to ghost movies.
The creatures look awesome.
They do, I wouldn't call them creepy, but yeah, the ghosts look kind of awesome when you see them. I love the design. The most
yeah, it's not, the thing, you can never say about
that's the
Del Toro movies that it's ugly.
They
that's one thing
good.
He never does.
Yes.
Yeah.
He makes
as much as
movies.
I hate them, I have to give it to him. He's very
the
good
thing,
with pictures.
The thing I love about this movie the most, though, is the way that it's the tone of it. That throughout the movie, like the first half an hour when she's falling in love with Loki, right? It's almost like watching what was that movie? Anna Karenina, Joe writes Anna Karenina, where you're talking about this romance occurring where there's a dance scene, there's all sorts of things
right.
going on. You can see the
he made a period.
Right? And it's kind of just lovely to watch. Then we get to the house and it becomes like a true horror ghost movie where it's not necessarily a real horror movie where people are trying to frighten you.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just, as the movie says itself, it's a weird love / mystery movie that happens to have ghosts in it. Right? And I kind of like that about it. But at the same time, it's one of those movies where when it's over, you feel that there's just one little thing missing. One, whether it's one scene that needs to be cut out, whether it's one little character they need to add in.
Whether
it's
one
just,
sword that you should have used.
It's just
it's one
just,
hour earlier
it's just
in the movie.
This movie is one step away from being like your favorite fun, weird period horror, not really horror movie. And for that, I give it a 3. I like it.
It sounds all right.
And like all movies with him, I love Loki. This movie, he
acts the shit out
of him. I don't think of him as Loki. Every time I see him, I think of him from Only Lovers Left.
Oh, that movie is so good.
That's the movie I think.
Now, if you want to talk about a good movie about creatures, that's a good movie about creatures.
But that movie didn't come out recently.
But then again, I'm not allowed to talk about that movie because it's a Jim Jarmusch movie. And I'm not allowed to say good things about Jim Jarmusch movies.
Great.
He's not.
He's something as
well. Okay, yeah, I'll accept that.
So, all right. We have two more movies I want to talk about.
I'm not allowed to say how much
I don't
want to
hear anything anymore from you.
What?
No.
No,
you already said how much I hate this movie.
You have on the shirt. I can see it. It says FTM.
But I didn't tell you about Mia Wasikowska and what I liked about her.
Everything. You
what
like
did
everything
you like
about
Mia?
Nothing!
You're a monster. You know a movie she was in that you like?
Only Lovers.
Yes. Which Loki was in? Sadly, Tilda Swinton wasn't in this movie.
Oh, yes.
It did have Jessica Chastain, though.
Yeah. That helps. That helps.
No, it didn't.
So Mia was also in a Stoker movie, if I remember correctly. She's real good.
By the way, he's making a movie soon. I'm so happy.
Don't tease
me. So, Damien.
Can't. My heart.
This October.
October.
We were taken to Mars.
Went to Iron Man the shit out of this.
By the one and only Ridley Scott.
That is the problem I have with this movie. It is hard for me to cheerlead a movie.
David, if we look at the last 5 years alone,
shit,
we have had lots of trouble in the world of Ridley Scott.
I've had more trouble than you.
But The Martian came out this year. So the question I have to ask to you, Damien, because this is based on a book that everyone has been touting. Mm-hmm. Everyone's loved this book. Right. They've been going on about the story forever, right?
For good reason.
Is this a case where Ridley Scott finally got a story to begin with that was good?
And that must be.
or is it just that something about this one just worked out?
No, I think that is it. I think Ridley Scott sucks at telling stories. Both his own stories and, like, Robin Hood wasn't really his story. He fucked that shit up too.
I never watched that one.
You shouldn't. It's really bad.
Not good.
Like, aggressive.
It's like one of those movies where you're like, maybe if I pay attention to the action, I might think okay. But
the thing is, Ridley Scott is a master at directing shit. He knows where to put cameras. He knows how to make a scene tense. He's good at his job. Unless you tell him to tell a story. Because he's real bad at that. But they took that.
To write a story or tell a story? Which one?
I don't care. What all I'll say is, this story, he did not fuck up. And so all the other Ridley Scott isms were there. Which makes this movie damn near perfect. I give this movie a 4. Because it's fucking phenomenal. But it pains me to say that because they're going to give him more money. And he's going to take that money and make more alien shit.
Yeah.
And I don't want any more. I want him to stop it.
But don't you know Ridley's at his best when he's in space?
So right. Hold on.
Like, remember when we saw the trailer for Prometheus? That fucking trailer was incredible. And like, yeah, I remember him. Then you saw the movie and you go, fuck Ridley Scott. And I saw the trailer for The Martian and I went, Ridley Scott, you're not going to get me. I can see through this. I've seen this movie already. Right? You can't out Interstellar. Hey guys, guess what?
Out
Interstellar the shit out of that movie. God, that movie is good. But it's a Ridley Scott movie.
Can we just call this movie... This, because The Martian doesn't do it justice. Can we call it something like The Chronicles of Captain Blondbeard, the Space Pirate? I'd like to call it that.
It's so good.
It's, you know, like, and the thing about this movie, right, is that it really rests on how much you like Matt Damon in terms of, like, just his personality in this movie. Because about 90% of the time, you're alone with him, and you're like, well, is he going to make another joke that I like? And guess what he does? Yeah. You know?
Him talking to himself a lot. You go, this could have ended poorly. Mm-hmm. It really didn't.
And it's a right mixture. You have this likable guy that, mm-hmm. you know, gets lost. And then you have the story about, you know, these folks that are trying to save him. And then you have this story about these guys back home mm-hmm. who are like, what do you mean we left him there? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's...
I like the crew. God damn.
Yeah, the crew.
Michael Peña to the...
Yeah.
I watched another movie this week. I had Michael Peña in a scene. Uh-huh. And that was the best scene of that movie.
What was that?
Ant-Man.
Vacation.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Damn it.
Okay.
Don't remind me of good things about that movie.
I'd like you to elaborate on that a little bit later when we're in the catch-up phase.
Don't watch Vacation.
But I think we can all agree that Chronicles of Blonde Beard is the greatest of four.
What?
Absolutely.
What?
I was taking a risk by going back to the Ridley Scott.
I'm going to science the shit out of this.
But, I mean, this one worked out for me.
Right. Like, the movie, like, it is, even though it's in this precarious position, it never feels like... He wasn't going for horror at any point. It never feels like...
I mean, the closest you get to that is when they have the flash forward.
Right.
And you kind of just mm-hmm. see him. Right. Like half you're like, holy shit, there are definitely stakes here.
Yeah.
Right.
This thing could have gone horribly.
Right. Like, there's, of course, moments of tension. Like when the airlock blows out and he has to wrap it in plastic.
Uh-huh.
And you hear him trying to sleep and you hear the plastic go. But we're like... No,
I could not live in this.
You put on your helmet and you go sleep inside the Jeep. Do not do this. God, that movie is good.
They didn't have a Wilson though.
Shit, because they didn't need one. Thank God. Fucking Castaway. People for years telling me how good
another
that
Robert Zemeckis movie.
Tell me how good that movie is. That movie sucks.
I need to watch that movie again. That movie, but I was also 12 when it came out.
Guess
what?
You're going to be bored at 50 if you watch this movie 90 years from now. Always going to be boring.
Alright, so the last movie, at least I think the last movie, you guys can correct me.
I think the terminal is better.
That I want us to talk about from this month is the return to form of Mr. Steven Spielberg with The Bridge of Spies.
What did I give this movie? Okay, adequate.
I refuse to watch it.
You refuse to watch it?
The movie looks boring as shit. Like on Prince, I don't care.
Thank you, sir.
Like,
damn it.
I wasn't a big fan of War Horse, but I do love Steven Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch Lincoln?
Yeah.
You like Lincoln?
No, it is really? Also boring as shit.
Wow. Well, it does look boring, but I've heard so much good things about it.
Listen, if you look at Daniel Day-Lewis, his face, you will love the shit out of that movie. But there's a movie wrapped around his performance. And there's... Oh my God.
I'm sorry, guys, but there's something about the way Spielberg puts together scenes that even when... And I'm not going to tell you you're completely wrong, Damien, mm-hmm. because give Lincoln or this story to any other regular everyday director, they don't know what to do with it other than just be like, I guess the script told them to stand in court and say these words.
Stand here.
Right?
Look busy.
But with this movie, and yes, this is a typo, this is a four, right? With this movie, Bridge of Spies, there are moments where it'll feel really low tension, where, for example, early on in the movie, and he's being asked to take on this case, and sure, he puts up the good fight, and the world tells him, yo, don't bother with the fight. And there he has some hurdles, but he has some small victories. But then it kind of becomes amplified as to how important those small victories are as the movie moves on.
Is it better than Argo?
It's not as fun as Argo.
Okay, so let's get something straight.
Oh, you saw this movie?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
So Argo is good, right?
Right.
It's not better than Argo.
Okay.
It has to first pass the good stage to even be considered as
Remember what I told you about TV.
There's a box and then there's two circumferences.
I told you about him and his. So and
to give you a good example of one of the few things that I love about watching some of these Spielberg movies, especially the later year Spielberg movies, where he on a lesser director would make this into such a big moment, but in this movie it becomes this weirdly small thing that I don't know if Douglas saw this, I don't know if anyone else has seen it, because I haven't seen it really mentioned in a lot of posts that I've read about this movie. But when he's in Germany and he's taking the train, there's a scene where he's on the train and you see people jumping the wall, right? And people being shot. Mm-hmm. And everyone jumps at the train and goes like, oh my goodness, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And when the movie's over and he comes back home, there's a scene where he's on the train and the train is going through the town back in America.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the camera go to the side and you see some children jumping a fence.
Mm-hmm.
And you see him kind of just flinch a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie doesn't make a massive thing about it. It almost doesn't want you to recognize it. And it's something that I loved about Lincoln, and I love about this movie, is that Spielberg loves to have those contrasts throughout all of these societies and all of these worlds. The worlds of spies and the worlds of lawyers, the worlds of breaking laws and keeping laws, the worlds of morals and the needs of war, right? And where those lines are drawn and where those lines don't matter. And this movie is kind of great. And more importantly, to help Damien think maybe I'll watch this movie,
mm-hmm.
the acting is goddamn awesome.
All right.
Especially from the spy in question of...
It's why I watched Lincoln. It's the thing that brought me through Lincoln.
Right.
Was watching people act the shit out of movies.
Right.
Well,
it's
enjoyable.
I agree with you that I like the spy's character. I don't know if that's great acting on his behalf, because all he needs to do is he's kind of like the guy that you like, because he sits down, he's relaxed in stressful situations, and he's even called out on it. Why are you so relaxed? Should I be upset? You know, like that kind of answer.
That opening yeah. scene where we meet the spy and he's like painting himself,
mm-hmm.
and he's in his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
That scene is actually the scene that I was thinking the most about. Going back to this movie after a few weeks gone by. And I realized that was the moment where I immediately connected with this guy. And I realized that I don't see any difference between him and any other profession where someone asks you, this is needed to be done, and maybe we have these hurdles because of immigration or whatever, but and he's not the spy like the man from Uncle, where he or James Bond, where he'll walk into the room and sure, he might pretend to be someone for a minute,
mm-hmm.
and then he eventually shoots someone,
right?
Right?
He's Bond after,
right? He's a spy who literally you'll never notice in the world until what happens in this movie. All the G-men just come swarming in onto his house, and you're like, what the fuck's happening there? That dude that comes down to the park and feeds ducks.
For the ducks!
Yes, I see that intentionally. And David picked it up. But I was hoping you'd be a little bit more subtle
God,
about
the
it.
FT.
You'd be saying about how that must be a nice town to live in.
God, the
FT.
The Fraser Park.
Because they have ducks to keep you calm. And who's going to feed the ducks?
Mm-hmm.
If you got no bums.
Anyways.
Stop it.
I don't want to go home and watch.
I really like this movie. It's a really good movie. And yes, Douglas, you are bored.
Right. So, this movie was fine.
This movie sounds like War Horse. It sounds like.
It was... There was nothing spectacular about it. It was not a bad movie.
Right. So, it's War Horse.
You're
describing War Horse.
Yeah.
He still hasn't seen War Horse.
Sat down.
He claims he wants to watch that movie before
yes.
the year is out to make the final
yes.
decision of the podcast.
We need to have a podcast
on
the
War
Horse.
Okay.
Yes.
Damon is right.
But yeah. Bridge of Spies. You see, this is one of those movies where it's on the borderline, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is there are a lot of good technical points that, like you're pointing out a while ago, where I kind of can't say this, but it's on the borderline of me getting up at the end of the movie and kind of feeling like I've wasted my time, because it's okay. And there's, I really have no other feelings after watching this movie
it's
than
just a meh.
Alright. You know, so you know, I almost want to hate a movie more than feeling like that about the movie. Because at least I was invested in something. Yeah, if I'm just indifferent and just like, alright, fine.
Alright, movie. Okay. You're a movie, I guess.
You know? That just it makes me feel empty at the end of the day. And that's why I cry myself to sleep. Whatever. But I really, really think we should talk about movies that we caught up with.
Okay.
You
saw Spy?
I didn't see anything. But.
Mm-hmm. You didn't see anything, but.
I saw somebody seeing something.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew.
That's a snort.
You.
Hell is happening in this podcast.
You decided to take a vacation.
I too decided to take a vacation.
It was not pretty.
Good lord.
I
mean, Chris Hemsworth is pretty. Solace. Yep.
I guess.
I had to
Thor
try.
Was in that movie.
I had to try and say something nice before he said something bad.
Look, there was that one scene, as I mentioned.
Right.
Michael Peña is in it.
Michael Peña. The four states.
The lady from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, isn't it?
Sweet D?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
There's a scene in there that is spectacular.
Nick Kroll is in the scene.
Yeah, Nick Kroll is in the scene.
And I don't remember who the fourth guy is.
Oh my god.
Can't remember who the fourth guy is.
It's pretty good.
But it's a pretty good scene.
So is the rest of the movie worth
not even
scene?
Not at all. like, it's one of those films where you're watching it, and I guess Douglas would like to say that he was bored, but unlike a lot of dramatic movies where I will like Bridge of Spies, I will argue all the technical and all of the dramatic and the emotional points that are so great, with comedy, it's really easy to have a nice little gauge where you're like, did I laugh?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a second. Is this coming from Andrew? I've heard Andrew review comedies where there was no laughter.
That is different.
Oh, okay.
because all right, give you a good note. Have you tried this TV show called Casual?
No, I haven't even heard of that
show.
I've read a lot of people getting annoyed with that show due to its dour tone, and more importantly, how it almost doesn't feel like it's a comedy.
But it's a perfect comedy.
Right.
And Damon, you would love it. You know why? Because it's a comedy where you don't necessarily laugh. It's a comedy where you watch somebody be an asshole to somebody else. So you're like,
that sounds about right, yeah?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm done with that.
But the only reason why that works as a thing that you will come back to week or actually watch more than 5 minutes of. Because if you watch a YouTube video of someone making asshole jokes, you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. But when you're investing in like 8 hours of television over a year, right, the reason you come back to it, something like that, is because of your connection to the characters and the actual emotional core of that movie, of that show, right? Which is why I will talk about comedies that I didn't laugh at, because the truth of the matter is that at that point I don't think it's a full blown comedy anymore. Right. This movie, on the other hand, lacks any form of emotional core, lacks any form of character you care about.
Wait, but I saw them singing to Seal.
Yes, they sang to Seal. They also beat up another family in slow motion that just was sitting there. I found it hysterical when I started to think about this movie I was going through, and I'm like, so I was trying to get all of the points in my head, because you know this movie, like all the vacation movies, they're like, okay, so Griswold's getting car, they go to point A and they do dumb shit, they go to point B, they do dumb shit, point C, and it just repeats until eventually you hit the end point where they get to be at Wally World,
mm-hmm.
or whatever their vacation is.
Wally World.
And I started to think to myself, I'm like, Rudolph. So... Christina Applegate gets
Aww.
One dumb shit scene, which is possibly
really
the worst.
I like her, by the way.
I do. I love her.
You can't not.
Right? Between Anchorman and that TV show you love with...
Yes. What was it called again? I really liked it. And then the second season happened.
Yeah.
Even that one with Cameron Diaz, where the two of them are in there.
Oh, and they're like sisters or
yeah.
something like that?
Right.
I don't vaguely remember.
And they're awful to
yeah.
each other. And everybody else. I like her. I like Christina Applegate.
She's great.
Even what was the name of that TV show with the baby?
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking about. But
Will
I can't remember
the
name of it.
Baby.
Yeah,
She's good in everything.
So, she gets one scene of just getting to shine, of doing dumb shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's horrible. And then the rest of the movie is just Ed Helms.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I guess everyone...
What about his children? And the little one beating up the big one. Or being
Aww.
A little bitch.
Yeah. So There's... Ed Helms was really the star here?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
He drives
People
the movie.
People need to realize that Ed Helms
can't carry a movie.
Not great.
Look,
yeah.
No,
everyone
he's great in small doses.
Exactly.
Everyone loves
and
Ed Helms.
And he needs to be supporting.
Because
be...
of Hangover, and he sang. So those are the two things
yeah,
people always... Anytime
no,
there's
an
Ed Helms movie,
a,
he
was in
sing.
Another movie where he went to some convention...
Oh, yeah, Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids,
yeah.
yeah. But he was surrounded with by lunatics in that movie, which is why that movie was fun.
But
it was more of a collaborative
movie. Right, it wasn't just him.
This
yeah.
one, he is spearheading, and he's trying...
That's a problem. You can't have it. Like, he needs to almost be the straight... Not exactly the straight guy, but, like, the guy people make fun of.
I mean, definitely, like, all vacation movies, as I say... Point A, point B, point C. He's always having people to play off of. Whether it be Thor, who is showing off his six-pack, as he likes to think.
And yeah, that's what he's showing off.
Or whether it is Charlie Day, who is getting depressed because he's...
Charlie Day?
Listen, you
Charlie
guys,
Day's
they
movie? Wasted him.
They
wasted
him. But he's so good, how can he...
They wasted
oh
him
God.
When I saw him I'm like finally this movie's about to turn.
There's always someone else for him to play off
yeah,
of, but at the, at the end of the day it just doesn't work right. I one of the things that came that I thought of as I slowly went into this movie was trying to figure out the difference between someone who is straight up dumb and someone who is gullible, right, and which one is truly funny, right. We love Borat, in which someone who is really dumb, right? He is not a gullible person. He's a dumb person, right? We watch movies when we were younger. We watched Dumb and Dumber, which was dumb people. This movie is a movie about a gullible character, right?
And then, at the end, you realize that he isn't. Like
okay, so
isn't...
I have a question for
I don't
you,
like
right?
This movie.
I have a question.
Let's stop
because
talking about this movie.
It's kind
don't
of
watch
been
it.
It's kind of been on my mind recently.
Mm-hmm.
So
Adele's new single.
I don't
it's not great, is it?
It's not, but you know, at least now we know what happened on the other side of that conversation
okay.
with Lionel Richie. but
I'm surprised,
that
he never,
oh,
I'm surprised he never thought of that connection.
Oh my god. I hate this podcast.
Because that's immediately the joke I thought of when I saw the song.
I haven't seen the video. I was busy listening to the song.
No, you just, once you heard the name of the song, Hello.
Yeah, Hello, yeah. Every time she says hello, I start to sing the rest of her. But no, it's been on my mind lately because... As you said, this is like a tried and true formula, and it's worked at least
40% of the time.
40% of the time, but not even just worked; it's worked money wise, right? Financially.
Euro
so,
trip.
Yeah,
trip.
There we go. Oh. but so
Johnny doesn't know,
and this is not only a tried and true formula; it also is a direct sequel of something that uses the same formula. And it's a movie that, I don't know about you, Damien, I don't know how you feel about this, but I know that I love those old movies, and I don't know if Andrew loves all of them, but I think you at least, there must be one or two that you
I love Christmas.
You enjoy, right? Exactly, there we go. Now, is there a significant difference between what happens in those old movies and what's going on in these movies? And why is it? Because I have these problems as well, that they're the old movies that I love. And in this movie that I would watch and be like, it's crazy. So, I hate it. So why do we do that?
Let me try. Right? Because the truth of the matter is, as I brought up the dumb and gullible thing, Chevy Chase played that gullible role so well in the original Vacation movies. And I like to think of Christmas the most because that's the one that I actually care about. Yeah, that's the one we definitely
grew up
on. Right? When you think about that Christmas Vacation movie, right, throughout the whole of it, he's waiting on that check, that bonus check, right? And he's just believing in this world as it goes through every moment where he's just being torn down,
mm-hmm.
right? And for the most part, that's kind of what they're doing with this remake, right? Every bit and moment, he's trying to have the best family trip he can have,
mm-hmm.
right? And every moment, something is tearing him down, whether it be his wife returns to her old alma mater
mm-hmm.
and makes an ass of herself, and mm-hmm. he finds out things about her he didn't know. Mm-hmm. Whether it's that he gets to be with his sister for a moment and sees Thor married to his sister and goes cattle herding with him, and just bad things happen. Until eventually he breaks and he kicks a rock. Right? And the difference I'd like to think between Christmas Vacation and this Vacation is that at no point throughout that movie did you feel that you didn't care. Right? There's something about the way this movie is set up that I quickly stopped caring about whether Ed Helms got his happy ending or not. Whether the family came together and they actually had a good experience. Because the thing about it is that when you talk about these kinds of stories, right, not just Vacation, but like any of these arduous long journeys that people go on to have this big finale that not necessarily is a great big finale, it's just this weird thing like Wally World or having a Christmas dinner or whatever. Once you get to that end moment and you can feel the happiness of those people getting to share that experience, then you kind of want the journey in itself becomes almost nostalgic to you. Where you're like, remember that moment that she went and she did that? That was cute, right? Instead of at the time, you're like, this is dumbest shit that's happening, right? And throughout Christmas Vacation, that's what happens. When you get to the end of Christmas Vacation,
You earned it.
And it almost lets you remember the journey kindly, even though it was just 90 minutes ago it started, right? You start to think that when the tree burned down, that's cute, right? That's an adorable joke that you'll tell for the rest of your life about that one Christmas your tree burned down, right? This movie, when it's over, none of it becomes adorable,
mm-hmm.
right? When you get to Wally World, he actually gets into a two families get into a fight. It becomes shown in slow motion, and it just becomes. It becomes just one of those things where someone is making crude jokes and you don't feel they understand that it's not appropriate. They're just making it for the sake of making crude jokes.
But the Seal song. Douglas, the difference between those movies and the new movies is that the old movies were funny. The people who wrote them got it right. They got the jokes right for the time period, and that translates because you can remember. Like, there's things in the movies that are relatable. The older movies, even today, that are still relatable. When you watch this movie, the jokes don't land. So then, nothing else is there. Like, it's a comedy. So, and the thing that is supposed to pull you through is family. Because the jokes don't land. And because there's things in the movie that are... Like, they have a car in the movie that is the world's shittiest car. Right? But they had to, instead of using a real car that is shitty, they created a fake car that no human being has ever seen or used, right? But there's loads of shitty vehicles that they could have used
And you go, yeah, I can't imagine sitting in this shitty vehicle across the country. You go, like having, there's a lot of jokes that they could come up with. But they chose what they thought was a more clever way, but it doesn't land. Because that the car joke is, the first time you see the car, it's not funny. All of the other jokes, like they have, like they, a million buttons in the car and on the keypad, and they press one button and the car catches on fire. Right? That is hilarious. That's happened to no car ever. So I don't, who is that funny to?
I'm pretty certain the writers, no other car that has happened to.
Probably the Suzuki Swift. That's the best car in the world. the 89 Swift. It's the best car ever. It's just like the jokes aren't funny, and so it's like they remade these movies, but they're like on one hand they're going, all right, we have to pay homage to the old movies because we're calling it this thing, but then they're like, but we have to update it for the this new generation. What they call teenagers now?
Millennials.
No. So it has to be crude. That's humor. Not
teenagers
now. I don't give a shit.
I don't know what the hell.
I know what I call them. Assholes.
No, where why? And millennials.
I have no fucking clue.
Who cares?
Yeah. I'm too old but to know these things.
It's not fun.
Younger than
that. Don't watch Vacation. Just don't do this thing.
Yeah. So question, did we talk about The Intern last time?
We did not talk about The Intern. Yeah. Maybe I forgot about
that. Douglas, do you like that movie?
The Intern?
Yes.
That's another movie where
enough. Andrew, do you like the movie?
Andrew likes it.
Do you like
it?
Okay.
So the problem with that movie is that, and I know we have spoken like about this probably on a regular podcast. The problem about that movie is that it's a movie where the point of that movie becomes making a decision, but no decision is actually made. Rather, the decision is to just stay the same.
Which is a decision.
No, but
that's not clear. That is a decision.
But that's a fucking cop-out. It's anticlimactic when you're supposedly invested in this person making a decision, right? So that's a problem. The truth of the matter is there's a lot of kind of like adorable things in the middle there. Oh, look at how what's her name again? And
Princess Diaries.
Yeah. What's her name? I can't remember. What's her face is so young and she's you know getting so close to this old man, Mr. De Niro, and it's just
Raging Bull.
Fine, right? And there's nothing wrong with it. And there's actually some points where I kind of liked it. But to then go and say, all right, the whole point of this movie is that we're going to find something.
Yes, Snoop Dogg was in that movie.
And it just didn't happen. And the truth of the matter is, too, I could have sworn, right? I thought that De Niro was the next CEO. I thought that that's what's going to happen. It was like, you know, pretend like ambush marketing except in professional world in HR but that never happened, but it didn't need to happen, even if it was simply that, you know, a new CEO was found, but to get to a stage where the end result is okay, let's
leave it as is.
Yeah, that's a problem.
What about it? Is it Pete Holmes, bro?
The movie was ours.
I like this movie a lot.
It's okay.
I enjoyed it a lot. But you guys hate Devil Wears Prada? Fuck you.
Yes,
guys.
I do.
Devil Wears Prada was alright.
Dual middle fingers.
It was not alright. It was fucking horrible.
Hey, you guys.
There was Stanley Tucci in it.
We must fight the heftiness.
And if he doesn't like Stanley Tucci in that movie, he's lying to himself.
Yes.
I like Stanley Tucci in every movie.
We must fight the heftiness.
Is there anything else you guys want to talk about, like catching up on movies?
Black Mass, that movie is okay. It's nice to see Johnny Depp be a human person, but it's not great. The story is so-so. I wanted to go see Pan. That didn't work out.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to watch Pan.
That did not work out. Sicario was kicked out of theaters. You guys are like, Sicario, Sicario. And I went, all right, let me go watch this. And Carrie was like, no, dog.
I like Sicario.
No more Sicario for you. I like it a lot. Andrew saw it twice. That's enough.
I gave them the go-ahead to shut it down.
Uh-huh. What else have I seen?
Ant-Man is no longer my number one box office earner this year.
Oh, I'll watch Unfriended.
Is it as bad as you thought it would be?
It's worse.
So
they like it is like they don't move from the laptop screen the entire movie.
Yeah, I've heard about it.
I didn't.
Is it really that bad, Damon?
I'm going to spoil the movie for you, cause.
But why'd you give it a 4?
Yeah, I'm going to spoil the movie cause for this movie.
No, don't, please don't.
Just
no,
just,
seriously.
No, like no, because this goes to show you just how bad the movie is, right? It's not like it's going to ruin any other movie. I'm just giving you the ghost reasoning for murdering all these people, right? And I want you to try and process just how dumb this movie is based on what I'm about to say. The ghost decide, the girl decides that she has to kill herself because there's a video on the internet of her shitting herself. So she kills herself and then proceeds to murder everybody that was involved in the posting of this video. That is what... And you find that out at the end of the movie. And they try to make it be like,
you
oh, the
you
more...
You find out what the video was about?
Because right, you find...
That storyline was throughout the trailer.
I think what you find out is that... I'm guessing from what Damon is saying, is that it's actually a ghost and not some random slasher.
Yeah, like it's a ghost killing these people. I didn't see any trailers. I just knew that some jackass put this on
the
list.
The only question mark that the trailer left us with was who done it.
Oh.
Right?
She did it. She done it. And
we
it
already
is.
Knew about the internet part.
Yeah, that there was a video. You didn't necessarily know she shot herself, but she did something, you know, drunkenly.
Even these movies, like when a ghost comes back to haunt people, it's usually for a good, like something serious happened, right? Not, oh, I shot myself and people tease me, so I killed myself and now I'm coming back to murder everyone. That doesn't hold it. That's stupid.
I disagree with you, but that seems like effort. Oh, right. Because here lies the thing. I'm not saying the movie is going to be any better for it, right? But if we're being honest about shit, she, like, if we took out the shooting herself in the face part and she just had some sort of weird, fucked up, teasy revenge in the movie, it would make sense because you're like, oh, they teased her and she was hurt and she wants to revenge that hurt, right? That's kind of the idea.
Only if they killed her.
You're saying that
the punishment doesn't fit the crime.
Yeah, it's what it is, Damien. First of all, and remember,
even by horror movie standards.
Remember, Damien, we are old people now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right.
Right.
So you have to remember, we're talking about children
and the internet. Who
are very sensitive. Right.
Right.
And regardless of how dumb we think they're being offended is, they're
fine. Fair point.
Right? As I said, they're feeling hurt and felt a need to lash out. Now, what would happen in the real world, well, let me not say the real world because there are many stories of things like this kind of happening. Not the ghost part.
I saw a ghost on the news pull a boy across a room. I don't know what you're talking about.
Go to star.com. Is that this would happen to the young girl. The young girl would do something back. Eventually an adult would find out and go, stop being children. Please grow up. That's the kind of reality we like to think of, right?
Yeah, but even by a horror movie standards. Alright, you know what? I should not watch a horror movie. It's my fault. I walked into this. I was, maybe I'm just looking for things yes, to hate.
I recommend you watch Crimson.
I want to watch it
tomorrow.
Yeah, it looks like it's running out of time. I think there's a James Bond movie coming out
on Wednesday.
At some point. That's going to shut down Carib. Oh no, that War Room movie is going to stay there forever. As it has been for the last 900 years.
Yeah. Anyways, last bit, waivers.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I'd like to waive. Need to send you guys some of my emails.
I'm assuming you guys have nothing you want to enact.
Can I cut 10 of my movies off of my list to improve my average, please?
I did offer you.
Man, God, look here. For a movie I love, it's a no.
Well, it's a movie that you love more.
I don't know if I like Jobs.
But it's a prestigious.
He conned me with the Facebook. He will not con me with the Apple.
All right, you're getting rid of Jobs.
No, he's not getting rid of Jobs.
What? Ed has requested one waiver this month.
Is he request? Doesn't he have Jurassic Park? Can we ban him from making changes?
No. I'm just making sure. Yeah, no one has it. So he's going to be dropping Crimson Peak and picking up the... Why can't I remember? The David O. Russell film, Joy.
Nice.
Can I pick up Crimson
Peak? Has he watched it yet?
No, because it's gone. It's earned money. You can't have it.
Not in Jamaica, it hasn't.
Just like Everest.
Right. Just like Everest. None of those movies have hurt anybody. He's like, wait a
So next month, we have to look forward to the competition of There's Damien's no The Good Dinosaur against my Victor Frankenstein.
It was fun.
Against Jack's double hit combo of Spectre and Mockingjay Part 2.
Jesus Christ.
Against Douglas's Peanuts.
Peanuts!
And against Ed's double whammy of Creed and The Night Before.
Yep, good luck with everybody making money this month. Turns out Spectre and Mockingjay is going to crush. I keep thinking that Douglas has Mockingbird.
Yeah, because he's
that guy knows him.
Yeah, every
year. He got screwed up.
Yeah, he got done.